Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
It is a Thursday. Anxiety in Green Bay, tension in Miami, joy in New York and in Salt Lake. It's the Herd, live in L.A., wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. What a day today. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. There's just quite a lot going on right now.
There's a lot going on in football potentially in the next 48 hours. Don't go anywhere. So, you know, listen, fans are important. During the pandemic, we didn't have fans. And the networks all, I thought the networks did a great job. I thought Fox and CBS and NBC shooting NFL games, you know, the camera angles so you didn't see empty stands. I thought it was really amazing. I thought it was a production home run by all the networks to make the games look and sound, piped in crowd noise, as good as they did. A-plus for all the networks on that. But boy, you need fans. You really need fans. And there has never been a greater example of that than the New York Knicks and the Atlanta Hawks series. I honestly felt the crowd won the game in New York. I'm not sure if the Knicks did. The crowd was insane. It jumped through the television set. And they go on to beat Atlanta and even the series. And the Knicks are completely limited. I mean, the Knicks roster's a flea market. It's everybody else's secondhand stuff. I mean, it's vinyl records. It's old furniture. It's used clothing. It's incense. I mean, Nerlens Noel, he's a Sixer. No, he's a Knick. Alec Burke, he's going to be huge for the Jazz. No, he's a Knick. Derrick Rose, Taj Gibson, aren't they Bulls? Alfred Payton, Orlando Magic, Julius Randle, Lakers didn't want him. It's a flea market. It's everybody else's secondhand stuff, and that never, ever wins in the NBA big, ever. It's the opposite of what wins in the NBA. You want everybody else's stars. You don't want a flea market, and yet they're winning because of belief, the crowd, the momentum. What do the kids say? How it started, we're going to get Zion, KD, and Kyrie. How it ended, we have RJ Barrett, Julius Randle, and Derrick Rose. And it's winning. It's a 4 seed in the East. I was thinking about it this morning. Why are the Knicks so easy to root for? If the NBA playoffs were just one big family dinner with all the teams in there, LeBron would be head of the table. He'd be the patriarch. You listen to LeBron. KD, Kyrie, Harden, and Brooklyn would be the weird cousins who may or may not show up. You're not sure. They made their money in cryptocurrency. They've got a lot of AMC stock. The Clippers are the family member that always shows up and promises, ooh, big things are coming in my career. I'm about to finally hit it. A lot of promises. And the Knicks, they're like grandpa. They talk about the old days, harmless. Just so damn happy somebody invited him to the dinner. They're just likable. They tell stories about the good old days. Nobody's really threatened by the Knicks winning the title. Everybody likes Grandpa, right? And Grandpa's just happy that he got invited still. He has to hang around all the cool, popular kids. The Knicks last night, people in New York were climbing on light posts. They won a playoff game in the first round at home to even a series. And I find the Knicks, you know, I just find it to be a great story. Remember we watched Michael Jordan in The Last Dance, and that was about greatness. The Knicks are the last chance, if there's a documentary. A bunch of these guys on the roster, they fail the first couple times. It's their last chance to do something special and cool in the NBA playoffs. Taj and Derek and Burke and Nerlens Noel and Julius Randle. And there's just something easy to put your arms around. We all missed fans, and we knew it as we talked about this. Sports is better when it has juice. boy, the Madison Square Garden is just the greatest example of the impact and the importance and the flavor that fans can give you. Fantastic. These teams aren't going anywhere, by the way. They're going nowhere, but it doesn't matter. It's a really fun first-round playoff series. Okay. You know, every Monday I do where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. It's about five of one, five of the other. And this one, I thought I was going to have to wait May, June, July, August, September. 4.5, 5 months. I had to wait 5 days. Urban Meyer, according to reports, might use Tim Tebow in a Taysom Hill-like quarterback role in the Wildcat packages. That didn't take long, did it? The circus. The circus is in town 5 days in. When I said be careful about Tebow, Trevor Lawrence going to have a bad October. Look at their schedule. And you all said, Colin, he's just a tight end. I said, no. It's very hard to prepare for delusion. If you can't relate to something, it's hard to prepare for something. Like Black Friday at Walmart. You hear about it. I can't really relate to people staying overnight to get a mattress or a cool shirt. I can't really relate to that. I just go the next day and get it. So you can't prepare for it if you're normal, that you would literally stay overnight to get a phone or something, or a television or something. And then you see it on television and there's fist fight and it's WWE and you're like, I don't really, how would you can't prepare for something you can't relate to. I can't relate to watching a quarterback that's awful and thinking he's Tom Brady. So I can't even relate to the Tebow stuff. The idea that he's going to be Taysom Hill. Yeah, Taysom Hill runs a 4.4. In August, Tebow is 34. Tebow has spent the last 4 years in the NFL like getting yards and winning games. Tebow has not been in the NFL in 8 years. They have nothing in common. I'm not even going to get into their stats. One completes 70% of his throws, 147. One has a passer rating in the 90s, one in the 70s. I'll just be nice. But Trevor Lawrence, he doesn't understand it. Because Trevor Lawrence was 13 when the Tebow delusional tour took place in Denver. He was only 13, so he's all on board on this stuff. Here's Trevor Lawrence.
He looks great. You can tell he's just a guy that you want to be around. Character is awesome. Just had a few conversations with him, and I can already tell. And then just a hard worker. You know, no one's going to work harder than him. And those are the kind of guys you want in your locker room and that you want to be around every day. And then I'm excited to see what he does on the field as well. We've got a few days, and he looks great. He's in awesome shape.
Oh, Trevor Lawrence has no idea. You cannot prepare for something that you can't relate to. Tim Tebow, Champ Bailey made 12 Pro Bowls. Champ Bailey is one of the best top 10 corners in league history. Champ Bailey was great. I know Champ a little bit. Champ Bailey came out yesterday and he said, oh, I was there with Tebow in Denver. He's infectious, but he's just not an NFL quarterback. He said, I've known a lot of guys like that. They've got all the qualities in the rate room and the leadership, but like they're not NFL quarterbacks. Tebow's not an NFL quarterback. He's just not. But I think this is Jacksonville is never interesting. There have been moments in their history where they've been kind of good. The Blake Bortles defense, that's kind of good. AFC Championship game. Mark Brunell teams, Jack Del Rio or Tom Coughlin was a coach. They're pretty good. They've never, even when they were good though, been captivating. I mean, did you buy a Jags jersey during the Mark Brunell run? Were you there cheering for them to get to the Super Bowl, or did you want the Steelers or Brady to get there? I will say this. The NFL, even their franchises that feel like 2 to 3 years away from moving to London, are interesting. Tebow maybe used at quarterback. But Trevor Lawrence, go look at that Jaguars October schedule. Five straight winning teams, five straight Super Bowl contenders. They're probably going 0-5, and the chance will come raining down in a stadium that's 2 hours from where Tim Tebow was the most iconic college football player in the history of college football.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So Alex Smith was on our show yesterday, 16-year NFL career. And I mean, him and Aaron Rodgers, there are some parallels. Remember, that was the draft that Aaron Rodgers thought he was going to go higher, and Alex Smith went to the Niners, did go higher. You know, they played their college ball out west. They both had a few injuries. Aaron is more revered as a talent. Alex, though, has made three Pro Bowls. He can play too. They got some similarity. They actually look alike. First thing I said to Alex Smith yesterday during the commercial break, I said, I always thought you looked a little like Aaron Rodgers. God, in person, you look just like Aaron Rodgers. So, but they're different personalities. One is more warm and inviting. One's a little pricklier. And we all treat people differently, right? Based on, you know, their personality. We all have friends you can tell anything to, even bad news. And then you have friends, if it's bad news, you'll just let them find out some other way. So it is interesting. There is this sense that had Green Bay given Aaron Rodgers a heads up on Jordan Love, it'd have been all good. Now, should Green Bay communicate better? Absolutely. Alex Smith yesterday, when I asked him about Aaron and Green Bay's tension, said exactly what most of us feel.
It's inexcusable. It's absolutely, I think. How they ever got to this point, I mean, Aaron's been there 16 years, what he's given to that organization and been there. And for them, I think, to what happened last year during the draft, and I haven't talked to Aaron about this, so I don't want to like put words in his mouth, but clearly to watch the interview and him talk about it, it's about the people. And it is, and Aaron's been there that long, and I don't think it was the fact that they drafted Jordan Love in the first round. I mean, I think of the fact that you just – how do you have a guy like Aaron and you don't go make sure beforehand, you aren't going out of your way to make sure that he knows that he's loved, that they want him there?
No, I mostly agree. I think you should give Aaron the respect and the heads up. I agree with that. But I'm just going to throw something out there because I am America's honesty broker. I don't take sides. Aaron's personality is off-putting to a lot of people. His family has commented on him, teammates, coaches. Is it possible sometimes people in Green Bay don't tell him every little thing and some big things? Aaron is often the victim in Green Bay a lot, right? This is like 10 years now, last three especially. He's the victim a lot. Is it possible sometimes Aaron's not the victim? He creates some of this stuff. I mean, he's been in Green Bay 16 years. You and I know he's turned off coaches and players. We've seen them comment about it. Maybe they don't include him in every conversation. There are friends who you tell everything to. And there are friends they can just find out some other way. Alex Smith, I asked Alex Smith, did Kansas City tell you they were going to draft Patrick Mahomes? Here's what he said.
100%. I mean, that's something that was talked about throughout the draft process, not just by Coach Reed, everybody involved in the personnel department. Yeah, and I'm talking multiple times. Hey, this really might be something we're doing. Are you okay with it? This is going to be the situation. This is, I mean, you know, like there were no surprises. I mean, it was absolutely laid out for me. I think that all helps, you know, that when that stuff's communicated, it does make a difference how you treat people.
But that's how you would treat Alex Smith. Alex is warm and friendly. Players love him. Coaches love him. He's an overachiever. He's not a mega talent. That is how you would treat somebody you think of as family. Aaron's not quite like that. Aaron can be prickly. With his own family, with teammates, with coaches. The Minnesota Vikings, Alex was treated in Kansas City like you treat a nice guy. The Minnesota Vikings, when they considered drafting Justin Fields, gave Kirk Cousins a heads up. But Kirk Cousins is known as a nice guy. He's not a pushback guy. He's not a Cali cool guy. All I'm saying is, anytime anybody becomes a victim over and over and over and over and over and over, Aaron and Green Bay, there are sometimes, I would suggest, maybe you are creating a teensy weensy bit of it. So, you know, Aaron may not, he may be intimidating to people. He may be like off-putting to people. They don't include him on the text chains and the email chains. And they don't tell him some stuff. They just, let's just do it and deal with the fallout later. Because they don't want to be in a combative conversation. And they don't want to argue and have to defend their position. Now, I do think you need to tell Aaron when you're drafting Jordan Love. I can think two things at once. My brain is big enough that I think Green Bay was wrong there. But I do think how you treat Alex Smith or a Kirk Cousins, that's how you would treat a nice guy. That's how you would do it. A nice guy. Let's treat him like a, he's like family. Alex feels like family. Aaron's kind of a 1 foot in, 1 foot out, didn't he? A little bit. Got a little KD to him. I mean, you want to put your arms around KD, but you're never quite sure where KD's going to be in 2 years. And I think Green Bay has felt that for years with Aaron Rodgers.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman. And I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, the Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
I don't believe in coincidences. Chris Greer is the young and very progressive general manager of the Miami Dolphins. 28 months he's been on the job. He's made 28 trades. He is a deal maker. He is of the new brand of general managers in the NFL, the Les Sneeds. Make deals. A lot of deals. Howie Roseman. This is what GMs do now. They make deals. They didn't used to. Chris Greer, 28 months on the job, 28 trades. Everybody in the building knows Chris will trade for you or trade you out of town without a blink. Tua has gotten a lot of bad press, but he's never really felt a need to defend himself, right? In the last 2 to 3 days, Tua has come out and said two different things to the press. Number one is, oh, my hip feels 10 times better. Okay, nobody asked, but thank you. And then he came out and admitted this yesterday.
I wasn't comfortable calling plays. I think the guys that we had last year were phenomenal. I just didn't have, you know, the comfortability of kind of checking plays, alerting plays, and doing that. I just rode with the play, even if I knew it in a way that it wasn't going to work. I was going to try to make it work. So I didn't actually know the playbook necessarily really, really good. And that's on no one else's fault, you know, but my fault.
By the way, first year playing in the NFL, Tua is saying what a lot of guys say, a little over my skis, going to ad-lib my way out of this. That what he said is not crazy. It's hard. Like they always say, year three, light goes on. I've gotten my hands on a few playbooks. It's deep. It's a phone book. But don't you think it's kind of interesting? Last 2-3 days, he's come out and announced, oh, my hip feels 10 times better. And, you know, I really didn't know the playbook. Now, why would that be? I want you to think about it for a few seconds if you're driving around on radio or watching. What's happened in the last couple of days? Oh, Aaron Rodgers didn't show up to OTAs. Chris Greer, the GM of the Dolphins, is a deal maker. Tua and Tua's camp are making sure they put some positive news out there. Hey, feels better, and he knows the playbook now. In the last 2 to 3 days, when Aaron didn't show up, many people around the NFL believe, as Peter Schrager just said, oh, this is, Aaron's not coming back. They're going to have to start Jordan Love. There is a feeling around the NFL, Aaron and Green Bay, it's now a mess, and it's not going to be healed and solved. So what do GMs do that are aggressive? They get on the phone to Green Bay. And Chris Greer will make deals. And Tua didn't look very good. And now he is selling Tua. Feel great. I know the playbook now. I don't think it's a coincidence. I think the minute Aaron didn't show up to OTAs, a lot of GMs in the league, the deal makers, got on the phone with Green Bay. Three first-round picks. I mean, you're looking at the division. I got to face Belichick. I got to face Josh Allen. A lot of big bodies, a lot of big arms. I'm just saying. Uncle Colin does not believe in coincidences.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
The Aaron Rodgers thing, we've often compared Aaron Rodgers to Kevin Durant. We've said Brady and LeBron are like uniquely aspirational, uniquely into their bodies, like can play forever. Aaron Rodgers is more Kevin Durant, where, you know, you always feel like he's got 1 foot in, 1 foot out. He's a little bit of a, he's a unique personality, little defensive at times, fires back at media. Aaron fires back at media. Kevin fires back at media. Brady mostly ignores media. I mean, he really just, you know, Steph ignores media. Harden mostly ignores media. So, you know, it's funny, like Aaron wants to be treated a certain way, and Kevin Durant wanted to be treated a certain way. And Kevin didn't like the way Steph Curry was treated in Golden State. He felt Steph was treated better than Kevin was. So Bob Myers was the GM, and he once made this comment about Steph Curry at a press conference.
Kind of fall into a player like that in my position, I think you owe it to them to try to win, right? Those people don't come along too often with that kind of talent that he obviously has. So it's something we're constantly looking at, Anthony, and certainly we'll try and do. We want to win.
So what he's basically saying is guys like Steph don't show up very often. So when you get them, you got to treat them well. And Aaron's thinking, you got to treat me well. But then let's play the other soundbite. Bob Myers also said this at a championship celebration in front of Kevin Durant, and it did not play well.
And then I heard you tell Kevin Durant he can have whatever contract he wants next year.
Yeah, that was just for the media. He can't have anything like that at all.
Mid-level.
Yeah, mid-level, behind closed doors.
Because I think last year he told Steph he could have any contract he wants, too.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, that was different. He's been here from the run, you know, the way before days. He's earned it.
Ooh. Yeah, it didn't really go over that well. And by the way, Kevin Durant laughed, but did you notice the reaction from everybody else? Ooh, I wouldn't have said that. Ooh, that's kind of harsh. Because everybody kind of knows Kevin's different. Kevin's personality is different. You have to know. Bob Myers probably shouldn't crack that joke. You got to know the temperature in the room. So the whole, and by the way, I have a good source inside the Warriors. They were walking on eggshells with Kevin Durant the whole time. They knew it. They got tired of it. They were exhausted by it. But they won championships with it. But they always knew this was Kevin Durant's personality. You had to kind of walk on eggshells with Kevin Durant. He was offended by Draymond. He'd be offended by Kerr. He'd be offended by the media. He'd be offended by Bob Myers. That was his personality. And eventually, the Warriors just, you know, they were exhausted from dealing with it. I think Green Bay is a little exhausted of Aaron Rodgers. And I'm not saying that Bob Myers should have said that, and I'm not saying the Packers aren't at fault, but I do think Kevin Durant is a lot. He's a lot. You know, Steph is just come home, hang fam, go to game, score, go home. He's just very, very low maintenance. Steph Curry's about as low maintenance as you can get as a superstar. He's got a very happy family. He's got businesses. He doesn't need to be monitored or you're not babysitting ever. Kevin Durant's, there's a lot more going on with Kevin Durant. And I think with Aaron Rodgers, Brady, not a lot of babysitting. He's got a very big, robust family. He's got a robust business. Not a lot of babysitting with Tom. With Aaron, there is a little bit of a walking on eggshells thing. So I do think, and I'm not saying the Packers have done a great job with this, but I do think with Aaron and KD, it's a lot. And I've said this before. I can't one of my only rules in this business is, you know, my guest bookers, just bring on people who are good. They're verbal. They can talk. They can handle it. Don't bring on a lot of people under 25 years old and put them on a national show. They're not ready for it. It's too much. Like, give me guests who have talked on shows before and they can spar with me and give me crap. I wouldn't be great dealing with Aaron or Kevin's personality. I wouldn't as a GM. I'd be poor. I'd be like, get over it. Like that, I've said that one of my kids is a little more sensitive. I'm like, you're not a victim. Let's go. It doesn't work all the time. So I know that I am not capable of dealing with somebody who's super sensitive. I'm too blunt. I'm too harsh. I'm too direct. I would struggle. So therefore, if I was in Green Bay, after 16 years of Aaron, I'd be worn out. I'd be like, get over it. We're not going to tell you everything. I in San Francisco would have been worn out from KD. I'd be like, you're a grown-up. You have $150 million. Get over it. We don't have to babysit Clay or Steph. I don't want to babysit you. But then you lose him. Then you lose a KD. And then you lose an Aaron Rodgers. So it's a game you have to play. And to be a general manager, you've got to be capable of dealing with a bunch of different personalities. And Golden State just didn't want to deal with KD anymore, and he left. And I think Green Bay is tired of dealing with Aaron Rodgers, and he's about to leave.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
17 years in the league, Meta World Peace. We watched that Westbrook video last night, and years ago, Meta World was involved in a mess, the brawl at the Palace. And I can remember going on the air, I was at ESPN at the time, and defending the players, saying if I was like one of seven or eight players in an arena and I'm looking around and people are throwing stuff at me, hey, I'd be scared. Like that is like you are sitting in the middle of an arena. And so I defended the players going after fans who were throwing crap at them, and got a lot of bad press. Probably wasn't great for the league, but I thought Meta World Peace today would stop by, and we want to talk about this for a second. He's joining us live. So when you see like a fan throwing popcorn on Westbrook, does it make you mad knowing you've been through the same crap before?
Well, you know, it just made me think about things. I didn't see something like that in a long time. You know, and how I saw Russell react, you know, for about 4 or 5 seconds, he was furious, you know, and then you see him gain control and just, you know, this is about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, 6, 7. Right now you see he's like chilling out now. He's like, okay, just get the guy. Don't let him get away, you know. So I was proud of Russell, man. I was just like so proud of him. The fan, you know, he's got to, you know, relax, man. Like y'all tripping, you know, it's too much. And when I got suspended, you know, they never really showed a clip of when the actual cup was tossed from the stands. They always show me running into the stands.
Right.
So fans, that's what they'd see. Meta World Peace ran to the stands, but they don't see, they never show, no outlets, no media ever show the cup. But I saw all the angles because we was in the courtroom and we saw every angle. They was trying to actually put us in jail for this. Like literally the people in Detroit, in Auburn Hills, actually, the judge was literally wanted to give us jail time.
You know, it's funny what people forgot, never got reported. Many of those Detroit fans, do you remember this, Meta? They had criminal records. They were like not, they, it's true. They went out and found who the fans were, and they were just troublemakers. They were just guys that wanted to be jerks. When you got into that fight, was some of it you were scared for your life here because you guys were the bad guys? It was an intense series. Was some of it just fear to protect yourself?
Well, I'm never fearful. Like, you know, when you grow up where I'm from, you know, you play basketball. I mean, I remember playing basketball and then guys flashed a gun and saying, if you make the free throw, you know, we're going to shoot. I knew they wasn't going to shoot because we had my friends, and my friends was kind of packed up too. But I was never fearful. You know, I was just like, you know, when I went in there, I was just like, yo, why did you throw it at me? So the guy I hit, and you see this right here, all they show is this. It Fox. He's like, all right.
Well, they show the stuff. They show people throwing stuff at you.
No, but they got to show the original, like, because it looks like I just ran into the stands because the narrative is bad. It's no disrespect to any of the editors. I'm just saying from my perspective, this is all we see for years. This cup has been, but the guy who, when I went into the stands, everybody said that Metal Peace attacked the fan who didn't throw the cup. Well, now everybody know I'm friends with John Green, the guy who actually threw the cup. The guy I hit first, he bet John Green $50 that he couldn't hit me with the cup. And how I know this is because me and John Green speak like once a month or maybe a couple of times a week sometimes, you know? So I know what happened. And at that time, when that fan raised his hand, the only reason a fan's going to raise their hand is because somebody hit a three or somebody got dunked on or something.
Right.
When I seen him raise his hand, I'm like, oh, wow, he's happy because I got hit. So when I ran into that direction and I was like really upset, like, why did you hit me? He didn't hit me. But the guy who was protecting me from hitting the other guy that I was on, he was like, hey, you know, relax, you know, fight this. Come on, relax. I'm thinking he's like saying, just relax. Then he started punching me in the face. That was John Green, the guy I'm cool with right now. Right. But the other kid initiated the whole thing. $50 bet, you know, and it's like I lost so much, but it's okay because I'm a warrior. I'm from the streets and I don't really care. But, you know, I did lose a lot, you know, that day. My L.A. Gear deal was gone. The L.A. Gear did an ad a month before in Slam Magazine that had me stepping on fans and eating fans as a cartoon character.
Right.
Can you believe this? I was in an ad and the thing happened and then they dropped me. I'm like, you guys made an ad that I didn't draw. I can't draw. I didn't come up with this ad eating fans. And then they dropped me. So I'm like, okay. My Carl Jr.'s commercial gone. Money gone. Right. TNT commercial gone. ESPN commercial gone. You know, that's another defensive player of the year, all-star, another first team or second team all defense. I was third team before that, came back averaging 7 points more. You know what I'm saying? And still locking down. So with that being said, it's okay. I'm okay. But, you know, I'm just really happy that security was there for Westbrook, because Westbrook is a hell of an athlete. He could have easily ran away from that security. They can't catch him. You know,
Should we do to fans that do this? What do you believe we should do to fans? You're fans now with John Green, but what should we do to fans who do this?
Listen, man, I mean, because, you know, I'm from the era where you fight and you make out. I had no issues with John. John hit me. I addressed it. And that was it. I ain't got no issues. Some of my best friends be having fights and they make up and worse fights. So that's why I come from that era, you know, where you fight it out and then you make up. Right. But in this situation, this is the reality of the situation. When the fans, when the players are playing basketball, they're there to entertain, and they not only entertaining, they really giving you a piece of themselves every night.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Look at how Kobe played. Look how Westbrook plays. They giving you their all every night, you know, and enjoy it. The talking is okay. I mean, I played in Detroit, Philly, Boston. I've heard all sorts of things. And I'm like, you know what? That's a part of the game. You trying to get me off the game by calling my mama a hoe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right.
And right in my ear. I had one fan in Detroit get up in my ear. And Detroit is tough, but they don't know. They didn't know me. So I gave this fan a pass. But he was like, yo, mama's a hoe. Right? And I was like, okay. I'm going to take the ball out. I'm going to play because we're trying to win the game. That's, you know what, I was always cool with all that stuff. But when you start touching people, throwing stuff,
right?
Even though popcorn is not going to kill nobody, we know popcorn ain't going to kill nobody. But it's just like, you cannot, it's the ultimate form of disrespect.
Right.
Right. And that's the thing that, you know, popcorn, yeah, is light. But, you know, something has to happen, you know? I don't know if it's worth getting banned for life, but it's worth something
Yeah.
happening, you know?
Yeah. I always love bringing you on, Meta. You even tell me when people are disrespecting your mama. So I that's why. By the way, he's a sports founder of X versus X, a basketball social connection platform, allows players to connect with basketball hosts, players, gyms. According, it is called X versus X. We got to go, but it's Meta is always great. X versus X. He's the founder. Go to it, and it's great seeing you, bud.
My guy. See you later.